Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd, fa'audu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another wonderful episode on the silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. Don't forget, when you are making dua, then make dua also for the ummah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that He grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, and also protection against the oppressors. Well, today we have another very important topic to discuss. We will be highlighting that which is the most important thing for you and I as believers, the most valuable asset, the most prized possession, and that is the preservation and protection of one's faith, one's iman. So stay tuned, and this is a topic that we need to take very serious. This concept of having belief, of having iman, if we're not serious about it, then the thief of iman, who is shaitan, will easily corrupt our iman. And in so many cases, people have lost the iman as well. So stay tuned for that discussion. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi." The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions that we are listening, we are watching for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla, for the pleasure of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we learn, we will try to practice and share with others as well. Insha'Allahul Kareem. The time to act is now, the present. And for that, we need to do hard work, smart work. We need to be intelligent and wise, plan and prepare for comfort in the grave and salvation on the Day of Judgment through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that, we need to reconnect with the glorious Quran on a daily basis. If we fail to do this, then we are allowing, we are inviting troublemakers out there. We are allowing Shaitan and his people to end up influencing us. Because remember, the closer you get to the glorious Quran, to the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to obedience to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the further you move away from sins, and the further you move away from the glorious Quran and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer one gets to sins. So connect and reconnect with the Quran Sharif every day. Recite something. 3 verses is what we should start off with, minimum, and then gradually increase. Every day recite salawat, durud pak, istighfar, make sincere tawbah, abstain from sins, fulfill rights of others, learn and practice the sunnah, and obey Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's watch a beautiful kalam and we'll continue with this discussion about protection of iman. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Dil ko sukoon chaman mein na hai laal azar mein sozo gudaz hai faqat unke diya فقط ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا یا مصطفیٰ بلائیے اپنے دیار میں یا مصطفیٰ بلائیے اپنے دیار میں سرکار پھر لال زار میں سرکار آؤں تیبہ کے پھر لال زار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا ہر سال یا الہی مجھے حج نصیب ہو ہر سال یا الہی مجھے حج نصیب ہو جب تک جیوں میں عالم ناپائیدار میں جب تک جیوں میں عالم ناپائیدار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا ہر سال غازری ہو مدینے کی خیر سے ہر سال غازری ہو مدینے خیر سے ہر سال کاش آؤں میں تیرے دیار میں ہر سال کاش آؤں میں تیرے دیار کو سکون چمن میں نا افسوس گھٹتی جا رہی ہے روز زندگی پر میں دبا ہی جاتا ہوں اسی آنکھ بار میں پر میں دبا ہی جاتا ہوں اسی آنکھ بار میں تجھ کو حسن حسین کا ستا تجھ کو حسن حسین کا دیتا ہوا ستا اللہ موت دے مجھے ان کے دیار میں اللہ موت دے مجھے ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا بدکار و نام آبدار کا ایمان یا نبی محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے محفوظ رکھنا آپ کے ہے اختیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا کرتے رہو یہ حق سے دعا میرے بھائیوں عطار کو دے موت نبی کے دیار میں عطار کو دے موت نبی کے دیار میں سارا اندھیرا دور سما ہوگا نور نور سارا اندھیرا دور سما ہوگا نور نور عطار جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں عطار جب وہ آئیں گے تیرے مزار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا پھیلا نظار میں سوز و گداز ہے فقط ان کے دیار میں دل کو سکون چمن میں نا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. The beloved Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم has told us انما الاعمال بالخواتین, that actions are based upon endings. Now, endings here refers to the actions of the person in the final stages of life, just before they leave the world. And this hadith encourages us to always perform good deeds and to save ourselves from committing sins, because it could be that the evil of our sins could become our final action. We have no idea regarding the hidden plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we are warned against things like self-conceit, vanity, pride, arrogance, as a person doesn't know how we are going to meet our end. For some people, and we see this, we hear this in the news, people who are in a nightclub, dancing away, drinking away, on drugs, and the nightclub caught on fire, or the whole building collapsed, and many of them had died. What a humiliating and disgraceful end those people had. And remember, how we lived is how we will meet our end, and how we meet our end is how we will be resurrected on the day of judgment. So it's possible that whilst I'm committing sins, enjoying it for the moment, What if that's the time the angel of death is going to appear? What if because of my stubborn, consistent sinning that I lose the fragrance of Iman? We don't know. But that's one of the du'as we should make every single day of our lives. Because today could be the very last day of our lives. And tomorrow, our names could appear. That so and so, the janazah salah is going to be taking place at this masjid, burial in this place. Our names could be there. So we have to be afraid. We have to be concerned. In fact, most concerned about this one thing. Because if this thing is lost, there is no possibility of entry into paradise. No chance. The person won't even smell the fragrance of Jannah, and it can be smelt from a great distance away. Because death upon Iman, this Iman that so many of us take for granted, because we are born Muslim, we have Muslim families, I went to madrasa, but am I looking after it? Do I care about it? If you have a very great treasure, the biggest diamond, whatever it may be, you will make sure you don't just leave it lying around anyway. You'll put it in a safe. You'll probably put alarm systems, cameras, a guard to protect it. You won't inform the public. Maybe very close people that you confide in. But you will take the necessary precautions to protect that material, worldly item. Even your money as well. Paper money, same thing. We don't just flash it around because we know thieves are there, robbers are there, criminals are everywhere. They are looking for a chance to grab your hard-earned money, to break into your home, your office. So we take the necessary precautions and we have that fear that somebody mustn't rob me. Somebody mustn't break into my home and steal my material valuable assets. Even much, much more than this concern that we have for material loss of our assets, of our valuables, of the treasures that we accumulate, is the preservation, is the protection of our beliefs, our iman, our faith, our aqidah. Most important. And so we need to take the necessary precautions to protect ourselves, not only ourselves. Tell me, which parent in their right frame of mind would like to see their children, their offspring, burning in the fire? So what am I doing, firstly, to protect my iman, and then to protect the iman of my family members? My spouse, my children, my siblings, my parents, my Muslim friends. Even if there are some non-Muslims that I'm acquainted with, am I doing anything to extend the invitation to Islam to them? Primarily through my character? Or even talking about it? Because the reality is, if the person leaves the world without Iman, which direction are they going? Only one. That's the fire of hell, because they have chosen to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the one to whom we all are going to return to sooner than we realize. Could happen today, tomorrow, anytime. But it's going to happen suddenly. We're not going to get like, okay, you know what, this day, this time, this second, this minute, be ready. It's just going to happen. That's how it happens for everybody. And the same is true for you and I. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything from anybody. The entire universe is under His ownership. He can make changes within it as He pleases, as He wills. Who can stop Him? This is justice. And through His justice, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice, He will punish people who have chosen the wrong path. Even many Muslims will be placed into the fire temporarily, so long as they passed away with Iman. And salvation actually lies in accepting the will, the decree, the orders, the commandments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a Muslim is actually. A Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to my will, not to my opinions, my thoughts, my ideas, my concepts and societal pressures. That's not a Muslim. What my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to do, who am I to question? But if a person does have their own opinions, it is not theirs. If they stubbornly are on this point, that these are my opinions, then they are foolish. Because a person's opinions are influenced from outside sources. Every single one. They may have seen something, heard something, read something, and then formulated an opinion. So when it comes to Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our opinions matter nothing. And this is one of the great reasons that so many in their droves are entering into Islam. The structure is there. It is absolutely clear. You can do this and you cannot do this. If you do this, you will get rewards. If you do that, you will get punishment. Simple, easy to understand. You have the choice to choose the right way or the wrong way. But that is going to directly affect you in this world, in the grave, and on the day of judgment, when each and every single one of us is going to be resurrected. Human beings constantly fear what they value. Every one of us. And rightfully so, that we take the necessary precautions. People protect their wealth, they protect their family, they protect their life. But I want you to ask, be serious, be sincere, ask yourself this question, because I need to ask myself this question as well. How much of efforts do I put in on a daily basis to protect the greatest wealth of Iman that I have? Out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite mercy, He made us believers. He gave us the wealth of Iman. He included us in the ummah of His most beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I grateful? Do I show gratitude for that? And one of the best ways to show shukr, gratefulness for these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is to obey Him. So how? What kind of precautions that I need to take? Remember the best hadith I mentioned in the beginning? Innamal a'malu bil khawatim. Actions are based upon endings. How am I going to end my life? A person could have been a disbeliever, no iman, but a great philanthropist, helping people, providing groceries, food, shelter to countless numbers of people. They may have even been given the Peace Prize, some award, certification, recognition, acknowledgement, fame, wealth. All of that would be their reward and nothing for the hereafter. Doesn't matter what position a person is in society, what their status is, whether they've got your average matric pass or certificate, diploma, degree, honors, master's, doctorate, whatever it is, that all ends when we leave this world. And that all ends when we are in our final moments. It matters nothing. And the person who left without Iman, How are those degrees, that wealth, that fame, those connections and contacts going to help? Because we go to our graves with our deeds, good and bad. The person who left without Iman gets zero. That's it. Whatever recognition of the world, that's your reward. The afterlife, where it really counts, nothing but pain and punishment, torments, which begin in the grave and intensify in the hereafter in the fires of hell. Foolish people don't learn from their mistakes. The wise, the truly wise person will make a mistake but learn from his errors and make plans to avoid repeating those mistakes. And as they say, the real mistake is not learning from previous mistakes. That's the real mistake. And by mistakes, we will include sins, sinful activities. According to the institutions, the authorities today, if one has to backbite, he won't go to prison. If one has to have jealousy, he won't go to prison. Likewise, all these spiritual sicknesses that most of us have, and many of us don't know we have it, a person won't go to prison for that. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the rules and regulations of the Sharia, the sacred law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are major, major sins. And a major sin comes with major punishment. And persistence in committing sins may lead to the destruction of one's faith, one's iman. Shaykh Ismail Haqqi, rahmatullah ta'ala, he states, persisting in sins is an action that can lead a Muslim dying upon disbelief. Then whatever good we've done in the world is wiped out. And there's no chance for gaining entry into paradise. So we need to work hard, work smart in protecting and preserving our iman, our faith. This is necessary. And therefore it's also necessary to avoid sins. Keep an eye on your daily routine. Because today, to commit sins is extremely easy. You just have to open your phone. You go onto the internet, the billboards, the newspapers, the magazines, all invitations. Even the entertainment sector is not for entertainment. We always say this, that the entertainment sector, the movies, the music industry, sports, these are the marketing agencies of Shaitan, the CEO, Iblis, the Rajim, cursed and rejected one. He uses these things under the guise of just, you know, innocent entertainment to pass the time. If a person thinks like that, they got you exactly where they want you. With your guard down, sitting, relaxing, and downloading all of their sinful invitations towards alcohol, towards drugs, music, clubs, premarital, extramarital relationships, casinos, gambling. We see today. In fact, one study was done, and they mentioned they wanted to introduce to the public an alcoholic brand. It was something that they never marketed before. So they thought, like, how? What's the best way? And they came up with the idea through the movies. The protagonist, the main character in one of the famous movies, will make him drink this thing. And they said, after the movie was released, after the next 2 years, those things, the sales of that, as soon as they introduced it into the market, skyrocketed. So they're using the movies to influence you to market sinful things like alcohol. And we are just like, no, it's just innocent entertainment. Be careful, because they're conditioning our minds on how to live our lives. And largely, It is totally against Islamic teachings and values as well. So every day we must beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection of Iman. Maybe my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren down the line till whenever my lineage continues. We don't know. After 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, if our family line, our bloodline continues, which direction will they take? This house I'm living in? After 100 years, who's going to stay here? Muslims or disbelievers? My family or strangers? My family, will they still have Iman or not? So the tarbiyah, the training has to be ongoing on a daily basis. The standard for determining whether an action is right or wrong is not our experiences, neither is it the approval of people. It's against Islam to measure our works and judge them as right or wrong against the standards set by human beings. The standard of whether something is right or wrong is the law of the Creator Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the standard. And those who don't measure against the criteria of Islam, or they don't consult with the ulama, the pious and honorable scholars of Islam, they could end up doing things or saying things that are detrimental to their faith. To protect your faith, it is absolutely necessary to continue seeking Islamic guidance from the scholars and the muftis of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islami has a department called Darul Ifta Ahlus Sunnat, where you can direct any of your questions, your confusions, your doubts, and from the Sharia, from the law of Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will give you the necessary answers, solutions as well. Speech and conversations, they are conveyors of our thoughts and views. If one loses control of this tongue, once it is out, can't be undone. We can't bring it back. It's out, it's gone, like a wild horse. And sometimes the things people can say in a fit of rage or anger could make their Iman hang in the balance. A person who was close, near and dear, a beloved one, a little child, passed on. What is my reaction? How do I respond? What do I say? And you may just even get some people, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, Allah protect us, ma'adallah, saying, questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan overpowers them and whispers left, right and center into their hearts, into their minds, in their own sound, their own voices, playing with them like a toy. And they just blurt out anything against the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Questioning Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Better just keep quiet, protect your Iman. Keep silent. Otherwise, from just one sentence, just by questioning Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who always does what is best out of His infinite knowledge and mercy, His wisdom that we cannot see around the corner. We don't know the hidden plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is never at loss, even when it seems like the person is at loss. To the extent that even if a thorn pokes a believer, the pain that the believer feels, sins are removed from the believer. Some sickness befell the believer, the Muslim. He had patience and he had full trust in yaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets a reward for that. His sins are shed away, subhanallah. So what's the tongue? You know what's another thing? One of the main things today that are corrupting people's beliefs is just watching and listening to anybody, especially on social media. The man got a big beard. He looks like a very pious, knowledgeable person. He recites so beautiful Quran. He's so eloquent. His words are like magic. We just captured, like a spell is on us, for many of us. And then whatever the man is saying, he could be giving us 99% correct and then 1% poison adding in between there, and we just drink everything. And that poison can affect iman. That poison, that 1% poison can finish iman. So be very wary of this. We are only allowed to listen to the talks of those who are proper Sunni, Sahihul Aqeedah, scholars of Islam that love Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that love the Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliya Allah, who are on the pathway of Ghuthi Paak, Khaja Sahab, Al Hazrat, and Awliya Allah. If not, run away from that person. Otherwise, if not you, then your nasl, your next generation, your children, could become influenced, because they will think that Ammi, Abba, my mother, my father used to, you know, okay, listen to this person. They may find it on your phone. They could become influenced by that, and the iman could be finished. So be very careful of that. Let's go for a short break and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My dear viewers, did you know that the Sahaba Kiram had love and reverence for the prophetic household? Let me just mention to you one narration of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It is reported that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu has said, to attain the pleasure of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take care of his Ahlul Bayt. The word here, which means take care of them, it means not only to consider them, but to look after them, to honor them, to respect them and revere them. Allama Badruddin Aini alayhi rahma states, the leader of the believers, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, instructed the people in matters relating to the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, observe the right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam by protecting the Ahlul Bayt, not harming them and not disrespecting them. The Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one narration includes Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha, Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan and Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrapped them in a cloak and said, these are my Ahlul Bayt. Alongside this, Ahlul Bayt also refers to all of these noble personalities that have just been highlighted, Panjtan Pak, as well as the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the blessed and pure wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are also a part of the Ahlul Bayt. Allama Muhammad ibn Allan al-Shafi'i alayhi rahma, he writes, considering the rank and status of the Ahlul Bayt, honoring them and loving them is obligatory. And alongside honoring the noble prophetic household, it is also obligatory to show respect to all those whom the Sharia, the Islamic law, has commanded us to honor, such as the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the practicing scholars of the religion, and the elite awliya-i kiram as well. So in summary, my dear viewers, it is obligatory to respect the Ahlul Bayt and all those whom the Sharia has commanded us to honor. Part of honoring the Ahlul Bayt is to follow their noble character and adopt their way. Number three, This noble narration shows that the companions alayhim ridwan would instruct the people to love the Ahlul Bayt and would encourage them towards this love. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us true love for the Ahlul Bayt, the ability to honor and revere them, and on the Day of Judgment, may we be blessed with their intercession. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We were talking about that it is forbidden to listen to those scholars or any person, even if the person claims to be a scholar, but he is not from the pure Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to flee from them. Also, we must avoid the company of evil people, because that only results in loss, because bad company can also destroy a person's iman. You know, people fear, all of us, we fear poisonous animals. A snake comes in, a scorpion, we'll be on the alert. If there's a wild animal, of course, we're not going to be smiling and okay. We're going to be on the alert. We're going to do everything to protect ourselves. If our family is there, we'll try to protect them to the best of our ability. But how come the poison from evil people, we don't consider it harmful, and people don't avoid the company of fusaq and fujjar, open sinners, people who are badmathabs, who have deviant beliefs? Many don't avoid their company. They play for both teams. They sit on the fence. No, it's fine, man. I know what's right. Do you really know what's right? Maybe. But your children, that man is going to end up influencing your children, and your nasl, your lineage could be cut there and then if they adopt those corrupt beliefs or they lose iman. Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi mentions that avoid bad company as much as possible, because it brings destruction to your religious and worldly matters. Stay in good company. This is most beneficial for you. The company of a snake threatens your life, and the company of an evil, bad friend threatens your iman, threatens your faith. If you open the glorious Quran, we all know the story of the cave dwellers, Ashab al-Kahf. Then why did they flee? That group of young men, accompanied by the dog, who was crippled, Itumir, they ran away to protect their iman. Because at that time, there was an oppressive tyrant king who was executing the believers. And so they left everything. They left their belongings, their sentimental values, their wealth. They left everything and they ran for their lives, not for their lives only, no. They ran to protect their iman. Because they understood, you know, if we lose our lives, it's okay. If we lose our iman, our faith, our belief, that's the end. There's no going back then. Then there's no chance of gaining entry into paradise. Allahu Akbar. And that dog who stayed in their company on Qiyamah is going to enter Jannah in human form. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So either, look, we choose the right way or we choose the wrong way. Either we stay alone than being in evil company, or we stay with good company than staying alone. And Dawud Islami, to the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great ni'mah, a great bounty. Because each day, Dawud Islami is moving one step forward, forward, forward. And it is expanded across the globe. So you're not alone. Get connected with us. Attach yourself to our local center, masjid close to you. attend the weekly programs, fill out your pious deeds every day, travel with the qafilas, watch Madani Mudhakura on Saturday nights. All of these things will help us to become empowered Muslims, educated Muslims, informed Muslims. And so this is part of that family. And we remain connected to this beautiful movement ultimately to protect our iman. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.